Probably by now you have heard about a finding from behavioral research about the relationship between the money we spend and the happiness we get. The basic finding is very simple, even if it's counterintuitive. Given a choice between buying a thing, acquiring a material possession of some value, or spending the same amount of money on having an experience, like a trip or a concert or French lessons, most people choose the thing. You can imagine the reasons for that. We tell ourselves that it's better to have something durable than it is to spend money on an experience that's here today and gone tomorrow. If we buy something real, something tangible, we have something of value, we can always trade it or sell it or something. The thing is, that same research tells us a very different story about the end result of what we spend our money on. Because it turns out that the experiences make us happier than the things. We get more benefit out of things like the trips and the concerts and the French lessons than we do out of the stuff. And in a way, we at St. John's have been profiting from this basic fact of human nature for many decades. After all, for years, we have had a very successful gift and thrift shop in the basement. And you can pretty much summarize the whole business model of the gift and thrift shop by saying that people turn out not really to need all the stuff that they get. And so they bring it here to be sold, thinking that they can make good on that idea of trading in the thing you have for some value. And there they learn from Gary and Cleo and Fran and Suzanne and Eleanor how very little value there is in the stuff that they have. The stubborn truth is we are very bad at predicting what it is will bring us happiness or fulfillment or satisfaction or meaning. And if we are bad at that when it comes to material things in this world, we are sure not any better at it when it comes to the spiritual things that are the points of contact between our experience and God's eternity. Nowhere is that more true than in the experience lots and lots of people have of church. Often, I find, folks come here thinking that they know what they are looking for. And when they don't find it, they generally leave disappointed, feeling as though the church or God or something has let them down. But of course, the problem might be that there has been a kind of collision between the prevailing culture that we live in and the way that folks with very little experience of faith or the community of believers think that spirituality works or how they think it should work. Very often these days, folks come into a church for the first time looking to fill some kind of spiritual hole. They are looking for something that will help them become more self-realized or self-actualized or somehow more fully themselves. They have a basic sense of who they are and a growing sense of what they lack, and they come to the church looking for something about themselves to be completed or answered or fulfilled. And almost always the church fails them. But not for the reason you might think. We fail those seekers first and foremost because we try to help them find what they are looking for on their own terms, instead of telling them the truth, which is that they are looking for the wrong thing. At least the thing they are looking for is not the kind of spirituality that lies at the very center of the Christian message. Here's what I mean. We live in a culture and in a time in which we are surrounded by messages about the vital, urgent, existential importance of self-fulfillment. We all know that everything from consumer goods to candy bars, from tea bags to toilet paper, is sold to us on the appeal that it will help us lead more satisfied, more fulfilled, more contented lives. Not surprisingly, if you are looking to explore the spiritual dimension of human life and all you have to go on are the ideas that culture has taught you, you are going to have some pretty basic expectations that spirituality works in the same way. You will think that the reason to become part of a spiritual community has to do with self-realization, with becoming a new, improved version of who you want to think you are. There are lots of people out there these days making a very good living for themselves exactly because they have figured out how to sell the idea that this is a kind of spiritual quest that will get you anywhere you want to go. In the first draft of this sermon, this was the juncture at which I started naming names. I will not do that here. You all know who I'm talking about. The weakness of the church is that we look at the incredible success of people offering that message, at the many people who hunger and thirst for meaningful spirituality, who are flocking to those channels for a message, and we somehow try to offer the same thing. And as soon as we try, we are on false ground. As soon as we try that, we have left the truth of what we have to offer in a bad bargain to make it more palatable to the people around us. As soon as we try that, we are no longer in the business of true religion, in the curious words of the collect this morning. Because the truth of our message, you ready? Is that the Christian gospel is not about self-realization, or about self-actualization, or about self-fulfillment. In fact, it is about something radically different from all of that, something completely countercultural, at least to this culture. It is about giving up the quest for self-fulfillment in order to find the person God wants each of us to be. Those may seem like hard words, but think about these lines from the letter to the church in Philippi that Brian read for us this morning. You know that when the Bible treats a text like this, like you see it printed out in here, all set off in a different kind of way, like verses, that something is up. And it is. Here's what's up. Paul is quoting something. Those words are words Paul knew would be familiar to the little church he was writing to. And the scholars tell us Paul was probably right, because those words were probably the lyrics to a hymn that the earliest church sang about Jesus. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the model of our faith. And the example that he gives us is not an example about self-fulfillment or self-actualization. It is not a model about identity politics or about God affirming things about me I long to have affirmed, as beautiful an idea as that might be. The example we are given in the life of Christ is a model of self-emptying, about giving up the very idea of self in order to understand just what God has created us for. God seems to have the idea that human selfhood is not the highest possible form of human existence. Self-actualization turns out to be a false summit, or even a false hope. All we really get out of it is an idea of meaning, of purpose, of life, of moral reasoning that is limited to ourselves. It is often said that our faith is built on paradoxes. There's one right in the collect this morning, the idea of a God whose almighty power is shown how? In mercy and pity. Here's another one, hard to grasp, but the model we are given for the life of human spirituality is a model in which we give up what seems to be the most important gift God has given us, our very sense of self. But there is a straight line between those words from Paul to the Philippians to the words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel that we read about a month ago. Remember, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will surely find it. And there's a straight line that connects both of those passages from Christian scriptures with the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that great prophet of troubled times. When God calls you, God is calling you to come and die. No one ever said the Christian faith is easy. No one ever said it would make sense in the terms of this world. No one ever said that it would work the way we want it to. But the evidence that we get right here, living together in this faithful community, is evidence for the truth of this difficult message. We know that when we finally manage to lose ourselves, we find a truth greater than ourselves. When we stop caring so much about our limits, about our time, about the things that we want to preserve, we find out how much we can be expanded to include the lives of others in our own. Christians are not cars. We are designed to run best on empty. We are designed to thrive when we find the grace to empty ourselves so as to become more fully aware of God's purpose and more fully capable of living it out in the world. Amen.